Everyone can suck it.
Suck it.
Woo!
Hey now, folks.
Oh, it's so fancy on the cell phone.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. This is Suck It, and I'm Matt Brown. This is Becca Wood. But I do another podcast, Mammo, with Maddie Price. And we had all, like, for years, we've been doing this since, like, the beginning of time. For years, we had all of this equipment and, like, headsets and microphones and jacks and USB ports and all this other shit. And then, like, I think during one of the film festivals, we were like, we don't have all our stuff with us. We want to do a podcast. Let's do it on the iPhone. And it is so much better.
That's wild.
On the iPhone.
I feel like the last Suck It was recorded on my crappy laptop. Maybe it was on your laptop.
No, I think the first Suck It was recorded on your laptop. And as we've said before, Suck It 1, the only Suck It worth listening to.
It's true.
Yeah. but I think the last one was done on mine. But the whole foo-for-rah. Meaningless. Meaningless, my friend. So let's wind the clocks back. Let's talk about where we are. It's December 21st, 2010, the shortest day of the year.
Yes, and we're early this year.
It's the day so short that it shouldn't go to parades, unless it's willing to get there really early. We are early. This is the second Suck It we've done in 2010.
I know.
Because the last Suck It, Suck It 09, was so late that it was on January 14th, 2010.
Wow.
Yeah, or something like that. So this is Suck It 5. We have been sucking it since 2007?
I don't know. That's 5 Suck Its. That seems like a lot of Suck Its.
No, that's where we're at. We're on the fifth. It seems like a lot of Suck Its. We've been doing this for 4 years, and that seems like a lot. Like, we've really maxed it. You want to know how many mammos there have been? Yeah. 186. Actually, 186.
Well, I'm just saying, as a once-a-year thing, I don't feel like we've been doing this for 5 years.
Well, I don't think it became a once-a-year thing until late in the go. I think we did one in, like, September. That was Suck It 1 of 2007. Then we did Suck It 2 at the end of that year.
Right.
3 would have been 08. 4 would have been 2010. Did one in 2009.
Because we had grand plans of this being, you know, a podcast.
A regular deal where we would come together as people and chums and tell the world to suck it.
Yeah, though we never really clarified the concept of it, which is fine by me.
We clarified the concept. We just never executed on the concept.
Right.
That's the difference. So, Suck It 1, and as it turns out, Suck It 4, we had Indian food and giant beer.
Yes.
This time, Kaplansky's smoked meat sandwiches. And we're drinking rum, folks.
Yes, we are. Rumming it up.
Yeah, and coming up on the climax of 2010. So, what do you guys to say?
Right. Well, this was the year Becca you J. told everyone to suck it.
I told the world to suck it.
You told your job to suck it.
Told the job to suck it, yeah.
You told your old apartment to suck
they,
it.
They can suck it there. You pointed out that we have never done a suck it in the same place twice.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, that's amazing. I don't know how that... Because I guess we both moved enough, frequently enough. I guess, like, unless you move this year, we are doomed that Suck It 6 will be in a place that a Suck It's been recorded.
It's true.
Well, we're not bound by that. We could go out on the street.
It's true. We could go out... We could
suck it in the street.
Suck it in the street.
Suck it in the street, folks. That'd be pretty good. But yeah, this was a big year. Well, this was a big year for both of us.
Yeah.
And since Suck It has become the year in review. Yeah. And again, if you are new to Suck It and for any reason think that you are supposed to be listening to this, the answer is that you're not. This is a podcast in name only. We do this when we wanna.
Yeah, to me,
and it's really just for us.
It's not even really necessary to post it online.
No.
I mean, you know, our two listeners, Maddie Price and Ben Wood.
Maddie Price never gets all the way to the end of an episode. He's never been able to cough up the safety word. The safety word, by the way, is quellish. which I've seeded into several suckets in the past and has never come up in conversation.
I feel like maybe Steve has listened to a few of them.
But
I'm not sure.
I cannot say the same for my girlfriend, but
I know she listened to one before I met her because I remember her... She listened to some of it and said I was funny, and I was like overwhelmed with joy.
Yeah, as happens with you.
Yeah.
So, I moved in with that girl, man. We're there now. We're in my spectacular new apartment.
I know. It's pretty good.
I like it. Had the housewarming on Saturday night. That was pretty good. All is going according to plan, with the exception of the fact that I've gotten nowhere in my life.
What are you talking about? But other than that,
I am on fire.
You've gotten places.
Not really. I mean,
You warmed your house on Saturday.
Yep.
And screened a film that you made on Sunday.
Yeah, I did. That's
true.
You
accomplished. You actually set goals and accomplished them this year.
But I do feel like I'm not, you know, getting tangible results fast enough, or, you know, getting a really clear new direction in my life going, because it's like, you know, I made a movie, but it's not like I ever stopped, right? I mean, making movies is sort of the automatic handwriting of the process. The movie that I made, Accordion, which you can learn more about at accordion.tedrick.com, is certainly a step up in production value from some of the stuff I've done lately. But even this was only really meant to be sort of a warm-up pitch for even more complex stuff to come. And you want to know what the horrible thing is, Rebecca J. Wood? I'll tell you right now. I'll give you the lowdown. Yesterday, a girlfriend sent me a video called Pixels. Mm-hmm. Which, if you have access to the YouTube, go on the internet, type up the internet vibes, and look up Pixels. And it's just, you know, basically it's this thing. This has actually been happening a lot. This is how District 9 happened, which is that sometimes people just go out and make very short movies that have a lot of special effects in them to prove that they can do it. And this is one of those. But it's like, I'm watching this and I'm like, man, I love Accordion. I'm happy with the movie that I made. I'm happy with sort of basically every movie I've ever made. Mm-hmm. But I look at this movie, Pixels, and it's like, I am not even in the same fucking universe as this guy. I'm not making the kinds of movies I want to be making. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of doing stuff that I can do because it's available to me, but it's just not even the kind of cinema I want to be practicing.
Right.
You know, like, this is just, it's a whole other echelon of pop art that this person is doing. And I mean, like, and wouldn't come as a surprise to anybody. Like, what do I like? I like comic books and Lord of the Rings and Star Wars and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm making a movie about, what, a couple breaking up in a diner?
Yeah, you like that too.
I do, but it's like, it's not, there's a disconnect there. Yeah. Like, there's got to be a way to do both. Like, I remember, like, years ago I wrote a story, a script.
About a couple breaking up and shit exploding all
around. Well, no, it literally was. It was a couple breaking up and then the subways of Toronto become animate and attack the city.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's like, that's not maybe the best example, but it's like, that is certainly more in line with the types of movies I enjoy, the types of things I respond to, the types of things I want to be doing, and I'm just not doing that kind of work. So when I look at stuff like that, I'm like, wow, I gotta get moving.
So 2011 is the year of shit exploding.
Maybe.
That could be a thing for you.
That could be.
See, I don't feel like when I look at your year, I feel like you accomplished some serious goals. I don't feel like I set goals and accomplished them. I feel like I've just stumbled into shit and I'm doing stuff.
You're double Master Bex. You're getting married, for Christ's sake.
Well,
what's the matter with you?
That was good.
Yeah.
I guess
you let you know what, Sucketeers? Let's throw it out on the table. Rebecca J. Wood is Tedrick.com's Woman of the Year.
Yeah.
This was announced yesterday afternoon around two p.m. The press release went out, picked up by, you might have read about it on the news wires, but you know.
And I'd given up on that,
which is weird.
You know what? No,
because I'd given up on it too. It was like when I thought to do it, I had to go back in the archives and make sure you hadn't already won it.
No.
Like, it was like, it didn't even occur to me. I've been racking my brain all year. I could, like, who could I give it to?
It was the year Serafina won. I was like, I'm never getting this.
That's weird.
I've known that guy for, like, 8 years.
Yeah, but that was only the second. Like, this, the other thing, maybe, again, Sucketeers, maybe you don't know this, is that Tedrick.com had a Man of the Year for many years. Mm-hmm. It started with Richard Hatch, a hero for a new generation, in 2000.
Yes.
So, and then.
Wow. I'm like, Richard Hatch.
Yeah.
I'm in there now.
You're up with it. Well, I think the fact that you are named alongside previous Women of the Year, My Girlfriend, Alison Reed, and J.K. Rowling.
Yeah. It's pretty
should
amazing.
Should be a pretty big
accomplishment. I'm going to put this on my resume.
But yeah, so like, I did Men of the Year forever, and I was committed to Man of the Year, not Person of the Year. Man of the Year, because you know
remember.
What? Being men are men, and being a man is great. I want to celebrate the great men who have brought like wonder, and like Matty Price won it, and Peter Jackson when Yoda won it 1 year, and my cat Woogie won it at some point. And it's like these are men. They are men who define manhood, and it's a real, you know, the only man I never got the chance to give it to because he became a man too late is Ben Wood. But other than that, it was a fucking machismo fest. Mark Brown won it. Yes.
Did you give it to Yoda 1 year?
Yeah, Yoda won it 1 year.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then I was like, well, men are stupid. Who needs men? And I switched it over to Women of the Year. And there's a, but there's only been like a handful of them. So it's weird that it's like neither of us thought that, you know, you were eligible.
Well, there's a few things that I had sort of resigned myself to in the 10 years that we've been friends. One, I would never be Woman of the Year.
Yep.
Two, I will never have an action figure made of myself.
Whoa.
Three, I will never star in one of your films. And four, I would never be invited to the Brown Cottage. This year, two of those impossibilities got knocked out.
Yeah, but two of them are also not terrifically. But like, I actually have a script that I want to do with you as the lead character.
But you know,
not you, Rebecca Wood, but I want you to play the lead character. And I mean, an action figure. That's a work. That's the work of like 3 hours.
But
I mean,
like,
I can do that anytime.
And that's really exciting to me.
Somebody's birthday, folks. Yeah.
No, we'll be broken up by my
Well,
birthday.
That's the thing. That's the other reason why Women of the Year had to happen this year.
I know.
That this is the last full year for which you'll be eligible. Because you and I are breaking up
in July
of 2011.
I always made fun of people who set a date for their breakups. But,
yeah.
This is
good. It's coming right up. So this is the last suck it.
This is,
sorry.
Yeah.
And,
Unless we throw in a like final
suck at
like,
5.1,
like record you officially ending our
relationship. I'll actually just like get the tape going as Harry Potter's 8 ends, and then so you'll hear on the sounder, you're like doo, 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 and you'll hear me go, well, see ya, and walk away, and that and she'll be like, ah, and that'll be the end of the whole relationship.
I really love the look of horror on your friends' faces.
They didn't get it. Was amazing. Like at the party on Saturday, like Maddie Price and Meredith were just like, holy, like looking at me, being like, my God, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah,
like you are so.
They looked
awful.
Horrified. Adam looked like he kind of laughed.
Yeah.
And
that's weird, too, because of anybody that I know that would understand what the hell I'm talking about, you'd think it would be Adam, but everyone's just like...
Everyone was like, wow, you are mean.
Yeah.
Like, you came off looking
mean.
Yeah, really
I know.
Mean.
It was really
and
wild.
The funniest part was the fear. You could see the fear in
their
eyes.
You could kind of gauge how secure or insecure they were about our relationship by the, like, oh my fucking God, I'm next. He's going to break up with her, and then there's going to be no one else around. It's like the lights going on and the cockroaches running for... Not that my friends are cockroaches. They're lovely people.
Yeah.
But it's just like, oh shit, there's no protection in the crowd anymore, man. I'm totally singled out. Yeah, it was great. It was funny shit.
It was funny shit.
But yes, so Becky Jo Wood, Woman of the Year.
Woman of the Year.
And you came to the cottage.
And I came to the cottage. That was two things that I thought would never, ever happen.
It never occurred to me. I'm raising a glass to the freeze frame of breasts on the television right now
because
we are paused in an episode of Californication.
Lovely boobs.
But yeah, what's weird is that, and I think we may have talked about this on Suck It before, never really felt comfortable inviting anybody to my family's cottage. Because
mm-hmm.
it just, I've been to other cottages where I'm aware that it's kind of a very social thing to do. People hang out, they drink beers, they sit on the dock, whatever. Never occurred to me that my place was okay for that sort of thing, because traditionally, my place has been a bit dingy. But finally got over that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and did you have a good time?
It was lovely. It was so. It was actually very necessary to escape. It was end of October?
No, end of September.
End of September. So I had just started school, and it was starting to become horrifying. It was really nice to come up to the cottage and drink wine and play Scrabble and hang around, eat delicious pie.
Oh my God, the pie!
Can I tell you, there's
please.
Still half a pie in my. I strategically baked only half of it.
What?
Yeah.
What's the rest for?
Well,
you should bake it. It's going to go bad.
No, I'm going to bake it. I was thinking maybe on Wednesday, then you and I can
bake it on
pie.
Wednesday. That's tomorrow.
I don't want to share it with anybody.
Don't
else.
Share it with anybody. Just bring me. You have a half the pie?
Yeah.
Bring me a quarter of the pie.
I was thinking
and you have
like
a quarter
that.
Of the pie.
Mm-hmm.
And I will sit in the corner. What are we doing tomorrow? Are you playing Mortal Kombat?
We're
Mortal Kombat!
But it's Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe.
Oh.
So, like, Batman can beat up Superman.
Wow.
Or Batman can beat up, all I can think of is Sonya. I know
Sonya.
There's more than...
John Cage? Is he a Mortal Kombateer?
I don't really know.
I don't know anything about Mortal
Kombat.
I don't know anything about video games.
No, this one's good. The Joker? You can be the Joker.
All right.
Creepy Joker.
Creepy Joker.
Beating things up.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'll be fun. We'll eat snacks.
Yeah. And then you can bring me some pie.
And
motherfucker.
Pie. Motherfucker.
Yeah, that'll be pretty good.
Yay.
Yeah. So, tell me again about the fairy thing. Let's talk about the fairy
thing.
Because this is a fucking, this, you know what, Succoteers, this will creep you out.
Okay, so I was diagnosed with MS 4 years ago now.
Yep.
And that summer was also, I think my last summer working at camp, I was diagnosed in June, and then I went up to camp the last week of June, which was all very fast. And before camp started, everyone went to the beach, and I was like, you know what, I'm not going to go to the beach today. I went out to the treehouse. And I took my journal and I sat and I wrote out the entire story of me getting diagnosed with MS, and which was intense. And when I was walking back down the path in the woods, this black thing flew towards me and slammed into my chest.
Right.
Like audibly smacked my chest. And I looked down and there was nothing there. And I like lifted up and checked in my shirt to see if something had flown in. There was nothing there. And I swear I got hit with a fairy. Mm-hmm. It was like this huge intense experience of writing out the MS diagnosis story. And then I got smacked with a fairy and I was like, all right, well, I'm going to pull myself together and this is going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And then a similar thing happened to you.
Well, this is the weird thing. So, I mean, as you might imagine, listeners. Listener, sorry. I of course thought you were nuts.
Yeah,
I
actually haven't told many people that story.
Well, now you told all of Suck It.
All of Suck It. Everyone knows.
Yeah, but I was up at the cottage, and I've had like three really good cottage going experiences this year. Like in the spring, I went to the cottage and I saw a fucking bear.
That's amazing.
That's still one of the best things that's ever happened. I saw an actual bear. And then there was the time that we were all up there together. And even before you guys got there, it was great because we were doing stuff like, you know, cooking our food in the backyard and all kinds of awesome outdoorsy stuff. But in the summer, I went for like a week to sort of just hang out and help my aunt clean up some stuff and so on and so forth. And I had some very profound personal experiences involving the state of the world. And then I'm out on I think it was on the last night that I was there, I was out in the canoe at, like, sundown, paddling along, and here comes this motherfucking thing towards me, this, like, dark shape.
Yeah.
The size of, like, maybe a little bit smaller than a fork. Like, it was a tiny little, like, maybe, like, 4-inch long thing. Looked kind of like a black bird skeleton or something. Like, it didn't look like a dragonfly. It had a different kind of feeling to it.
Mine was a little beetle-y.
Yeah, like it looked like, you know what it actually looked like? It looked like some sort of flying lizard to mine. And same thing, came like fucking made a beeline right for me, hit my chest, and vanished. And was fucking gone. Like just did That's not amazing. Exist in the universe.
Yeah.
And I was like, first of all, I nearly shit my pants. Like I almost flipped the canoe over.
Yeah.
But then I was like, oh God, she was right. And I was so angry. I'm so disappointed.
Yeah, you hate when I'm right.
It was actually funny because like it happened. I didn't honestly think very much of it at the time. I was like, well, that's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. And then it just sort of was gnawing away at me for like 3 or 4 days. And then I was back in the city and I was like, oh my God, it's that thing.
Yeah.
It's that crazy thing Rebecca's always talking
well,
about.
Well, that's the
blah,
weirdest.
Blah, blah, blah.
Except that I don't.
No, I know. You don't talk about it much at all.
But yeah, that chest smacking feeling.
Yeah.
Like, and then it's gone.
Then it was gone.
Mystical.
What is it?
I don't know.
Tell us, world. We'll get some horribly normal explanation. Yeah. And that's fine.
It's some kind of sternum beetle.
Yeah, it's a sternum beetle. It's the magical disappearing sternum beetle. Of Northern Ontario.
Yeah.
Tra-la-la.
Sternum beetle is disappearicus.
Yeah. Exactly. Which brings us to our next major point.
Yes.
Which is Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Now, I told you recently
yes.
that I am not so much sexually attracted to Emma Watson as that I just want to watch Emma Watson and Daniel Radcliffe have spectacularly ill-advised friendship sex late at night one night.
Yes.
This is what I said before we saw the movie.
Yes.
And then in the movie for all intents and purposes, Hermione and Harry have spectacularly ill-advised friendship sex late one night. And we don't, unfortunately, get to watch it, although later we also get to watch their spectral forms make out all nude and writhy. Oh,
and silvery.
Holy God.
Wow.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, you gotta understand, in the limited iconography of the Harry Potter movies, like, there's no sex in the Harry Potter movies.
Yeah.
They have to do everything very subtly. Like, look at movie 6, where there's that shot of Cormac McLaggen sitting on his broom, uh-huh. and the broom is like jutting straight in the camera because he's looking at Hermione, and the broom is his erection.
Yes. Or when Ginny bends down to tie Harry's shoe or some shit.
Yeah, exactly. It's these are she is basically filleting Harry at that moment, and this is the way the movies operate. Yes. So in the movie world, for Harry and Hermione to have a little dance to a Nick Cave song in the middle of the night in the tent,
which is the cutest, means that his little shoulder roll.
He does his little shimmy. He does his little shimmy.
Oh, he's so cute.
It means that in the months and weeks after Ron left, a few times, Harry and Hermione were just like, well, we're both really lonely. There's no one else here. We should fuck.
Yeah.
And it, you know, they probably did it like two or three times, and then that was it, because they both didn't really want the person that they were with, but that's who they were with, so that's what happened, and off they went. And, you know, I, as you know, am a fan of Harry Hermione shipdom.
Yeah,
I don't write it, and I don't even really read it, but I'm aware of it.
Yes.
And I do follow a few Tumblrs that make use of it. And holy God, they've exploded since Harry Potter 7 came out.
Oh, I never, like, I never know where to look for that stuff.
It's fantastic. Because everyone's just like, and I think it's great, because it's like, you know what, the next movie, they've got no choice. They've got to go to the horrible, boring Hermione Ron thing, which is going to look like two, well, as they said in Iron Man 2, two walruses fighting over a grape.
I actually just recently saw Iron Man 1. I have to see Iron Man 2 still.
But so they knew that, you know, this was their last kick at the can for the other side of the world, the people who thought that Harry and Hermione should get together, like myself, and I think everyone else who's sane. And so they're, you know, have another, one last try at it, and they threw in a little bit of shipdom.
Which I think is important.
I think so, too.
And, you know, they've been through so much. Why not that, too?
Why not?
Like, and it doesn't seem wrong and out of place. No. And maybe they won't tell Ron.
I wouldn't tell Ron. I don't think Ron can handle it. At the end of the day, Harry and Hermione are just smarter people. That's why they're suited for each other. That's very intelligent people, and Ron's a bit dumb.
Yes.
And, you know, he's all feeling and no thought.
Yeah.
So that's
it's nice that they have that.
Yeah.
You know, they have that. They have time that to look back on
in, you know, when 30 years from now, when they've all got children, they can be like, yeah, you know, that we were terrified and Voldemort was coming to kill us and all this stuff, but it was neat that we had sex those few times.
Yeah.
And that's really, really very sweet.
That's very nice.
Aside from the fact that the day it comes out, I'm not going to speak to you again, are you looking forward to Harry Potter 8?
Yeah, you've given me really conflicting feelings about this.
Yeah, it's going to be a hell of a thing.
Because I am really looking forward to it. I'm also not sure that I'm ready to deal with just the emotions of finishing Harry Potter again.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it won't be the same kind of intensity as the book. But even, like, this movie, when Dobby died, I was a wreck.
Oh, Dobby.
And so the next one, so that emotional turmoil is happening. And then you're going to up and abandon me before the credits roll.
No, when they roll. Before they end. Correct.
You're just going to up and leave me.
I'm wondering if the whole epilogue thing will happen before or after the end credits.
Ooh.
See?
See, I'm wondering if they do the live action mysterious ticking noise. If it'll be after the credits.
That would be great.
And then you'll miss it because you're going to abandon
it. And that would serve me right. Which would be greatly satisfying. It would serve me right. Serve me right. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm curious as to how long you're going to last after you break up with me.
But until what?
Until you break down and need me.
That's funny theory.
I think it's highly likely.
Has no bearing on reality, obviously, but that's okay. That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. So, last Suck It was, I think, like, the day I quit.
Yeah?
Like, I think that was actually the day I quit my job.
Wow.
Yeah. I was just listening to the first, like, 5 minutes before. Before we do a Suck It, I like to listen to the first 5 minutes.
He's far more prepared than I am.
Just to see what the cultural landscape was like. And yeah, I think that was the day I turned in my resignation.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And what a weird, wild year it's been since then.
It's been pretty good.
It's been pretty good. I just wish I'd kind of... Well, I didn't think I actually thought I would have stabilized the income thing by now, but I do wish I had.
Yeah.
Because it freaks people. It just freaks people out. Like, there's no... Don't get me wrong. I'm very aware that given my druthers, I would do nothing but what I'm doing now, which is develop my film projects, go to movies, be part of the community, and basically just enjoy myself. And that makes me unique in absolutely no way, because that's what everybody would do,
right,
given their druthers.
Mm-hmm.
I am doing okay for money right now because I did a ill-advised and very ill-fated contract for Bell for like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
But soon I'm going to actually have to get like regular work again, and I'm not looking forward to that.
No.
No.
It's a horrible thing. Like this, I don't have full funding for school this year, and it's pretty painful.
Yeah.
Like, I just got OSAP, which helps, but makes me really nervous.
Why? Because of debt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. But I got a $2,000 grant for being disabled. So
here you go, Gimpy.
Yeah.
Good luck with your numb tongue or whatever the hell the problem is. What is the problem?
Multiple sclerosis?
Yeah, but what's numb right now?
Right now
your hands.
My hands have been numb for over a year now.
Wow.
Since April 29th, 2009.
One of the things I said in the Tedric.com post re your woman of the year status was by Dumbledore the courage. We'll get into the Dumbledore thing in a minute. But the courage, a year with numb hands.
I know.
Like, I would go nuts. I know, you know, others who have gone nuts for significantly less.
Yeah. And initially it did. Because, I mean, you have to understand, it's a huge improvement. So, like, when my hands went numb, I actually lost all my fine motor skills. Like, I couldn't pick change out of my wallet. I couldn't handwrite anything. Like, I have pages in my journal that are just, like, it doesn't look like me at all. And I couldn't, like, right before I went numb, I started hooking a rug. I couldn't, like, I had to wait till I recovered.
What does that mean, hooking a rug?
Like, latch hooking, making a rug.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'll show you when you come over tomorrow hallway.
Sure.
Yeah, so, like, I had no motor skills. People at Starbucks were yelling at me for not getting my money out fast enough. Like, horrible. So now, I have motor skills, but I just have limited feeling. So, it's weird to think, yeah, I could live a year with no feeling in my hands, but at least I can do things with them.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely, that is absolutely true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's scary. It's a looming thing. Like, it's funny. Like, you also said, like, I don't know, I can't remember the exact wording, but kicking sclerosis ass and keeps on a grinning or something.
Keep on a grinning.
Which.
Yes, ma'am.
Which is funny to me because I guess I do make a lot of jokes about it, but it's a horror looming above my head.
Sure.
And,
Well, any degree of sort of lasting physical problem.
Yeah.
Is a horror.
It's true.
In a way. Because there's always that moment where you're like, wow, it's never going to go back. This is the way it is forever. And it's going to get worse. Like, whatever it is that's going on, it's sort of, like, I mean, I like to talk about my memory a lot. Because it's just, in the last 2 years, gotten shitty as fuck. And people think I'm joking. Like, you know, one of my doctors was like, you couldn't possibly be losing your memory right now. Like, you're 34.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I really am. Like, I really cannot remember, you know, stuff I was told an hour ago.
Yeah.
At all. And it's like, that's not temporary. I'm not, you know, not eating enough Wheaties. I'm fucked up.
Yeah.
I'm going to get more fucked up. And it's like, wow, by the time I'm 60, I'm going to be as terrified as my grandfather was at 60. I always thought he was sort of overstating it.
Mm-hmm.
But Lord. So.
It's a scary business.
Good on you not completely throwing your skirt over your head and running all around with your vagina showing. Because that's what I would do if I was you. Be like,
I gotta figure something out there. Because it occurred to me recently, like, I actually have not really met anyone my age with a chronic illness.
Yeah.
And it's been 4 years since the MS diagnosis and 2 years since the colitis diagnosis. Maybe it's time I seek out some kind of support or community.
I think that's a, like, fine plan. There must be hundreds of them.
I think that's the goal for 2011. The tricky part is finding something that's kind of like sex positive, queer positive.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to end up in some support group where I can't be like, when my vagina's numb, that makes me nervous.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's not what I want.
No, so. But I mean, that's also, I think, a pretty That's not an unreasonable thing to say.
It's not. I just have it's no idea how. It's not like you're saying
I was trying to have all kinds of S&M sex with three guys,
yeah,
and it didn't really work. Like that I could expect a support group couldn't quite handle. But I think my vagina's numb, and that challenges my sense of sexuality. That's got to be normal.
It's true. I think I just like.
Is your vagina numb?
Not now, but when I went numb,
yeah,
it was bad. I had the first time I had an orgasm after I was numb, I cried. Because I didn't think it was possible. Like, I was completely numb from the neck down, basically. Like, Jesus my whole Christ. Body. And no fine motor, so there was no masturbating happening. So that was bad.
I should have, like, flicked you and hit you with boards.
Yeah, I don't think you saw me much during the whole thing.
There were times when you sort of just, you know, I want to say recluded, but that's not actually the word. But, like, you withdrew from...
I was pretty stuck in the apartment for 3 months. Like, I didn't see anyone unless... Like, Jess came to see me a lot. I didn't see the Langs the whole time. I don't think I saw you. But I think it was also, like, you and Serafina were still pretty new, maybe?
Yeah, we were in our cave mode. Everyone has that thing. We happened to start going out, like, right at the beginning of winter.
Yes.
So it sort of intensified. I mean, I'm not saying we never went out, but I'm saying, like, there was... I do remember a couple months there where... We really spent just a lot of time sort of cooped up because, you know, it was
blizzards.
And that was that year that we got the ludicrous quantity of blizzards. Like, there was a blizzard every 2 weeks, and it was huge amount of snow. So it was just difficult to get around.
Yeah. No, I was stuck. I pretty much stayed home and watched movies with me for 3 months. Like, and I couldn't walk across the apartment without taking a nap after. I couldn't put dishes on the shelf. Like, that was... exhausting. It was a weird, weird experience.
That's what I'm talking about. By Dumbledore, the courage. The By Dumbledore thing was me realizing a couple things. One, as everyone knows, I'm an atheist. And if you haven't read Ricky Gervais's thing about being an atheist this week, read it. It's very good. Because it's basically just him saying, what the fuck is everybody's problem?
Where is it? Where is it?
I don't know. Conan O'Brien tweeted a link to it. But he's basically written this, like, a holiday message from Ricky Gervais, which is like, I'm an atheist. Why can't religious people just deal with that?
Yeah.
Like, what is the problem?
Yeah.
People ask me, why am I an atheist? I ask, why are you not? Like, what? The burden of proof isn't on the atheists. The burden of proof is on the people who believe in the sky bully.
Yes.
But anyway, so I am an atheist.
Sky bully.
And I... have been doing quite a good bit of work, just like when I'm writing in my journal or writing in my blog. Anytime one would write something like my God or Jesus Christ, I try to write something else.
Right.
And what occurred to me lately is it's time to do that in speech as well.
By Dumbledore.
By Dumbledore.
That's great.
Isn't it? Yeah. So that's just a weak example, but it's like, now I'm like, because that's hard to do. One of my favorite things to say is, God damn it. I love saying God damn it. See, I love
good Lord.
And good Lord's good too. Yeah, totally. And Jesus Christ is occasionally a very hilarious thing to say.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of really key, there's no other way around it. I enjoy cursing. I'm a guy who swears. And it's difficult to abandon some of these key concepts.
Yeah.
But now I'm feeling like, you know, if I'm going to really... Say, for sake of argument, you were having sex and you having a good time and you want to say, oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, maybe I shouldn't be calling out to the non-existent Sky Lord when I'm having sex. You know, it's so... It's
by like, Dumbledore.
By Dumbledore. Yeah, it's not going to work there. Definitely not a good idea. But it's like, how do you do that? How do you change these entire patterns of how you... Because the thing about swearing is that you almost always do it extemporaneously. Like, you're not doing it... with any great amount of forethought. Like, if I see a guy get hit by a truck, I'm going to go, Jesus Christ! Yeah. You know, because that's just the way it is. Like, how do you change those little internal cues?
Well, and this isn't the first time that you've tried to do this.
No.
Because of, you know, rethinking swearing that makes genitals a bad thing.
You're damn right.
And
you fucking cunt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, that's not so bad. But, calling people an asshole. I remember talking to you about calling people assholes.
Yeah, I still do that.
But it's really hard to let go.
Yeah.
You've been good with, like, calling people, like, when people use the word cunt as, like, a horrible thing.
I ended a whole friendship on it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it is. It's a tricky business. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. But I guess it's worth giving some thought to.
Yeah.
Because why not, you know, live your values every day?
Now, here's the thing. So you're an atheist and sky believe, but you have some sense of sort of mystical, spiritual-ish things.
Very vague. Not really. I mean, I wouldn't even call my scope for it. The whole fairy thing is just an anomaly.
Yes.
I mean, and again, it's not. I'm not taking that as proof that fairies exist. I don't even have faith that proof.
Neither am I. But it is a bizarre occurrence.
It is a bizarre occurrence. It's just sort of like I'm just trying to think more scientifically in the world than I have in the past.
Now, how do you feel about yoga?
I like yoga.
We do the yoga.
It's fine.
But there is some, I mean, JoLo in the last 2 years has started with the chanting of Om at the beginning of the class.
Yep.
Which is the sound of the universe.
Yes.
And you're down with that?
Well, I can hear the sound of the universe.
Yeah. And that's...
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Like, the stuff that I'm specifically... It's funny, like, I think, for example,
mm-hmm.
Avatar is an atheist movie. Most people, have you seen the film yet?
No, okay. I have not.
Most people would say that it's not because there is a deity in it, or a supposed deity called Awa, who is the god of this planet that they're on. But they make it very clear that this god is essentially the manifestation of all the biological interconnectedness of the planet. That the planet itself is basically a brain.
Right.
And that, you know, if Awa exists and if Awa has a consciousness, it is a result of all of the interconnected biological matter on the planet, and therefore it can be studied by science. And that's what I believe. That's what atheists believe, is that if there's a God, then that God has to be answerable to science. It can't exist outside the laws of science. It has to exist within.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how I feel about everything, too. Yeah. Like, I have no problem with anybody proving anything exists.
Yeah.
But you have to prove it exists. You know, it can't, it doesn't, there's no exemption from the rules. If God's out there, and if God created the universe,
mm-hmm.
then God has, you know, rules.
Yes.
And the reason I think you can almost quantifiably say God doesn't exist is that the rules don't work. You know, that you can't, how could anything exist before the simplest state of the universe that then created the universe? Like, how could that kind of, how complex would a creature have to be to create the universe? You know? Like, and how could such a complex creature exist in the first place? Where did he come from? So on and so forth, right? So these kind of unanswerable Lost-type questions, and we'll get to Lost. Those are the problem with GD.
Let's get to Lost now.
Yeah, let's get to Lost now.
I miss it, too. You're right. It feels like
it's been gone forever. Like, it only ended 7 months ago. Actually, I guess... Well, not 7 months ago today, but like 7 months ago, maybe tomorrow or the next day. And it's like, and it's just gone. It's been completely, because I think they so, in my view, comprehensively failed ending the show.
Yeah.
It does feel like it just sort of got killed in a hit and run. And it's not really with us anymore. And there's no sort of lasting residue of Lost. It doesn't leave me with any warm glow.
Well, and I haven't even been back, like, I haven't watched the final episode over again, and
yeah, neither
Steve and I had talked about, like, we don't have the last season yet, we were going to watch it, and then...
And I have the last season, and I haven't got all the way through it. Like, I'm about 6 episodes in, and I'm just like, you know...
Not into
it. It's interesting to watch again, but not like previous seasons, where I really kind of felt like I was with it, you know, like, with the beat of the show, and understood where it was going. Now I know where it's going, and it's like, but I don't agree with where you went. Like, I just don't.
Yeah. Well, I want to rewatch it. Maybe I'll rewatch it before school starts again. Cuz I don't have as strong, like, I didn't feel as strongly, I think, as you did, that they really messed up. But that's kind of been my way with Lost. Like, I kind of have always watched it, sort of let it wash over me, and then watched it again, and then thought more about it. And like,
yeah, and I mean, I don't feel as strongly that they messed up as I did. Like, I mean, as I've said in the last few months, you know, watching what episodes of the sixth season over again that I have watched over again, I do think the sideways construct, for the most part, works. Like, it's an interesting, I mean, now that I know what it is, it's not, maybe not as exciting as an alternate universe would have been, but it certainly, as a dead world, it works. I don't have a problem with a story that has an afterlife in it. Mm-hmm. What I have a problem with is the way that's treated.
Yeah.
So there's a 2 points in the series where they really fuck up. They really shit the bed, which is when Sun and Jin die. Spoiler warning. Uh-huh. When Sun and Jin die, and then literally the next thing that happens is you see Jin in the afterlife.
Yeah.
You don't know it's the afterlife at the time, but the next thing you see is that Jin is okay in some other world.
Yeah.
And then the same thing happens when Jack dies. You keep flashing to him in the church with all of his friends, and mm-hmm. it's like, there is a moment in the last episode where Jack says to Desmond, no, this is real. What's happening right now matters. He says that in words.
Yeah.
But in movies and therefore also in TV, cinematic language trumps words. So mm-hmm. in cinematic language, they're by cutting back and forth between the afterlife and the real world, they're saying it doesn't matter.
Right.
They're saying that everything's going to be okay. You're all going to go to heaven and be together. So it doesn't actually matter if you're dying right now in this blade. And I think, I mean, for on one level, I'm just stunned that as two creators, Carlton Cuse and Damon Lindelof, who have thus far seemed like such nice fellas, mm-hmm. would buttfuck their characters like that.
It's true.
Like, would have such such contempt for their characters.
Yeah.
That they would treat them so shoddily as to be like, your deaths don't matter.
Yeah. It's true, because then it also, you know, it feels like it devalues everything that they've gone through.
Yeah.
Like, so much, and like, huge, I mean, the amount of emotional roller coaster business on that show.
Yeah.
To just end it with like, and you're dead.
And we're all together in the church at the end of the sky. Like, I mean, Sun and Jin have I've used this as the best example all the way through. Like, Sun and Jin have a child together.
Yeah.
They have a daughter that Jin has never seen except on a fucking digital camera.
Yeah.
You know, and that girl grew up alone now. Like, she grew up, you know, with her evil grandparent. Like, I mean, Sun's parents took care of the kid.
Yeah.
Like, Sun's parents are fucking assholes.
Yeah.
And that's supposed to be, like, I mean, and I look at the difference between, another spoiler warning, the death of Lupin and Tonks in Harry Potter versus this. It's just as gruesome, right? Like, in Harry Potter, she kills Lupin and Tonks, like, as a fucking afterthought.
Yeah.
But the fact that their baby grows up an orphan is treated seriously by that book.
Right.
Like, Harry takes a grave sense of moral responsibility for the fact that what that kid is going to go through is awful.
Yeah.
And that really affects his life and really affects Harry's life, and it's important.
Yeah.
And so for Lost to just write it off, to write off what happened to Ji-Yun is like, oh, but, you know, her parents were happy in heaven and they all got together in the end. It's like, well, no, that's not good enough.
Yeah, it's
that
true.
That kid grew up an orphan with fucking mobster scary grandparents.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's not... Sun and Jin completely shit the bed on their responsibilities as people. And when it gets into stuff like that, it's like, that's suicide bomber thinking.
Yeah.
It's, you know, what happens now doesn't matter because we're all going to be together in the afterlife is what makes people tie dynamite to their bed. Like, literally what happens to Saeed. Like, Saeed fucking takes a bomb and blows himself up.
Yeah.
They take the Iraqi character.
Yes.
And he blows himself up.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be okay in the afterlife. Like, to have this show, which, again, not to get too big about it, but in the first few years, I felt like Lost, it started in 2004, I felt like Lost really was the first American show that had kind of digested the weight of 9/11
mm-hmm.
and was really trying to talk about post 9/11 American culture, American society.
Yeah.
And to have them go in such a fucking dark direction with it where they're basically upholding, like, Crimson Jihad shit, like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And it just comes out of nowhere. Like, it's not substantiated by any of the previous seasons of the show.
It's true. And, I mean, all of the... they didn't work that very well, the whole Saeed with the darkness and the coming back to life. Like, that didn't work.
No. No, it didn't. And same thing, like, I mean, Sawyer and Juliet, everyone talks about that episode. And that moment in the final episode where they get back together, it's beautifully done until you realize, yeah, but these people, like, Sawyer probably lived to be 80. Like, he lived alone in the real world for decades. And Juliet and him aren't actually together. They're just together in heaven.
Yeah.
You know, like, she died falling down that fucking hole for no reason.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, when you actually add all the pieces up and you realize what the pieces are, it's really grim and upsetting.
Like,
what they did to those characters is just mean, kind of.
Yeah.
So, fuck that. You know, like, the best thing that's been written about it is still a lady named Emily Nussbaum writing about it in the New York Times. I'm sure if you just Google those five words, you'll mm-hmm. you'll get it. Because she basically is like, she basically says everything we just said. And she's like, well, that's it. I'm done. I can't love Lost. You fucked it up. You know, I'm not quite there. Because I still love, you know, 90% of Lost. And I can forgive a lot of mistakes in the close. But God, don't get me started about it. That's kind of what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Like, I can like what I liked, but do not ask me about it.
Yeah.
And God, I hope Damon Lindelof never crosses paths with me. I'm serious. Because it's just like, I don't want to get into a scene telling that guy what he did wrong.
Yeah. Well, the worst part is the feeling like, did you rush into this? Like, you knew it was always going to be a 6-season show.
Yeah.
Like, there was no reason they couldn't have respected the characters in the end.
Yeah, it's just, you know, when you kind of get smacked in the face with the degree to which spirituality and religion are sort of just endemic to American thinking,
mm-hmm.
when you realize that these guys probably couldn't have done anything else because they are Americans and they believe in God and they just cannot piece together the moral crimes of what they're doing. They're on the C.S. Lewis side of the fence, not on the Philip Pullman side of the fence. Mm. And they just couldn't fucking sort it out. They had to come down definitively on one side.
Oh, that sucks.
It's just like, God, really? You seemed so clever up to now, and you're just paralyzed by this unilateral, one-sided Sarah Palin thinking. And it's terrible.
Horrifying. Have you... Sarah Palin as a reality TV star. What is going on? Where...
Sarah Palin apparently made some quip the other night about how Michelle Obama wants to deny people their egos or something like that. Because Michelle Obama is running a campaign to end obesity in the United States.
Right.
And she was like, well, you know, like, I don't know what she was doing in the supermarket. And she was like, Michelle doesn't want me to have this Joe Louis. Well, fuck her. You know, it's like, really? You're coming down against an anti-obesity campaign?
Yeah.
That is, like, obesity is killing the citizens of your entire fucking country.
No.
And you're saying, oh, fuck you. Don't fix that.
I don't understand this line where, like, her daughter was on Dancing with the Stars and won.
Yeah.
I think.
Really?
I think Bristol Palin won Dancing with the Stars.
I don't think I knew that.
So what does that... Like, so now this politician's daughter, who's only famous because her mom is ridiculous...
Yeah.
...is a star? And then they have the whole Sarah Palin and family reality show where there was a crossover episode with Kate... From John and Kate Plus 8, where they went camping with the 8 kids and Kate and Sarah Palin's family.
Man.
What? And this is a politician.
Well, she's not a politician anymore.
No, now she's a reality TV star.
Yeah, I think the one good thing out of all of this is I think this means she's not actually going to run.
Yeah.
Because she's decided to be a publisher, you know, a novelist and a book writer and a reality TV star and so on and so forth. But what's amazing to me is that one thing about the anti-obesity kind of shows what all the Tea Partiers, and I call them all Tea Partiers, whether that's the correct, the people who are sort of like, don't, basically the anti-government, don't tell me what to do, don't change the way we're doing things in the United States.
Yeah.
It's like, that is the extreme to which they're willing to go. Don't fix a massive fucking problem
right.
if it means you have to tell me I can't have my dessert.
Yes.
Like... Don't step on my toes, even if my toes are about to pull a fucking trigger that is of the gun in my mouth.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, fine. Let these people die. Let them die.
Yeah.
Let them go and kill themselves. But let them do that relatively soon. Because if they don't, I'm genuinely starting to wonder if there will be another civil war in the States in the next 20 years.
That would be amazing.
Think what that country's going to be like when they actually run out of oil.
I know.
Like, and these sides are becoming more and more polarized.
And that's the crazy part is that how can they not see, like, if you're running out of oil, to not change your lifestyle means running out of oil faster.
Yes.
And then what? Like,
there is no,
that doesn't enter into
it. Yeah, there's no and then what thinking on that side.
They can suck it.
They can, you know what? Tea Partiers and half of the United States can suck it.
Yeah, honestly. I think so.
Yeah. The healthcare thing was fiasco enough, but it's just getting stupider and stupider. And it's like, yeah, so you've got a large group of people who are basically calling for the end of the government.
Yeah.
That the government's going too far. And you're coming up on a massive economic and resource-based crisis? What happens in the... Like, I mean, I'm a comic book guy. I can tell you what happens in those fucking things. The Road Warrior happens in those things. Mad Max comes out to play when that shit goes on.
Yep.
So, live it up, guys. Just stay off our turf.
Yeah.
You know, which would be lovely if that could was even slightly possible, but whatever. Whatever.
Oh, suck it.
Yeah. So...
So...
Anything you want to say about getting married?
I'm getting married.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I haven't... We've thought about it a lot, like, in the summer. When, like, Steve asked me to marry him in August. And then I started school in September.
Wait, geez, it was Steve that asked you to marry him?
Yes, it was
Holy
Steve.
Holy fuck.
Steve. My Steve.
But you're going to do it in like 2 years from now, so I won't be there. And
I know. Well, you know. We've been saying 2012 if the world doesn't end.
Right.
Then we're getting married.
And what about the thing where I'm going to perform the ceremony?
Well, I'm still down with that.
All right, good. What do I got to do? I got to get ordained?
Probably.
Get officiated?
Yeah, we haven't actually talked about it. We'll
like
look
to
into
talk
that.
To your mom because your mom's gonna be like, no, no.
No, I don't think. I think my mom would be okay with it.
All right, good.
I don't know. I'm tired. School makes me tired.
Yeah,
I'm too tired to think about this.
Are you done in 6 months?
I'm done in August.
You're done in 8 months.
I'm done in 8 months.
That's not bad.
It's not bad. It's
then you're double Master Bex.
Then I'm double Master Bex, having a mild crisis about why I'm actually doing this.
Everyone does that.
But it's okay. So, Succoteers, if anyone has an awesome job possibility for me, starting in September 2011, I'm down.
Yeah, and while we're on that subject, Succoteers, if anyone has any ability to connect me with someone who can get me a job on The Hobbit...
Ooh, yes.
Call me.
That would be important.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like this whole thing just kind of crept up on me, you know? Like, I I'm sure many Suck It fans know, and many, I mean the two of them. Big fan of the Lord of the Rings trilogy,
yes.
But more even than that, big fan of the way they made the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Like, just sort of the sense of Kiwi camaraderie that went along with all that. And I was, like, I remember when Return of the King came out, I was kind of depressed. I was like, man, I really should have just tried to go down there, go to fucking Wellington for a month and just see if I could hire on as a PA just to see what that was like. And I was like, man, I can't believe I blew that and I can't believe this is over and the chance will never come again. And then
the
chance to do The Hobbit came up, but it wasn't going to be Peter Jackson directing it and it was going to be done, you know, by Guillermo del Toro and whatever else. And I was like, well, you know, it's not really the same thing. But now it's like because of just horrible series of circumstances... Peter Jackson is making these films.
Mm-hmm.
He's making them with the same cast and crew. He's making them in the same place. That almost didn't happen. They almost got shipped out of New Zealand because of the fucking unions.
Wow.
But now it's all happening again. It's like the same fucking thing. And it's like, wait a minute. I could do it this time.
You could do it this time.
So I'm basically putting the plea out to my entire social network of, like, good Lord, if you know a guy who knows a guy who knows a guy,
yeah,
I want to talk to the guy.
How would you get that job?
Yeah, I don't know. It's very hard because obviously I don't have New Zealand citizenship.
Right.
So it is difficult to convince anybody that I'm so valuable that I'm worth bending the rules.
Right. True.
But.
Have they started shooting yet?
I believe they're shooting in February.
Okay.
I may be wrong about that.
Okay, so we have some time.
Yeah, no, there's time.
All right.
That would be the fulfillment of a lifelong, like literally this is fulfillment of a lifelong dream. Category.
You should just go there.
I'm thinking about it. It's difficult to spend that much money to just go there with no plan.
True.
Because it's not like going to Boston. Like,
no, it's a series.
Thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
So it's a big deal. But I mean, you know, it certainly has crossed my mind that if I just jumped on a plane and went there, like at least I could say I was in the right place at the right time. Maybe
yeah.
It doesn't actually materialize into anything, but it's better than nothing. Yeah.
All right. So that's your 2011 goal?
That is one of the major 2011 goals. Like, that and Captain Napalm are sort of the two big deals.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm going to finish my second master's.
Double master Bex.
Double master Bex. And plan a wedding.
All right.
Those are my major goals.
Well, then, I guess we can suck it.
Suck it.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, Ben. And...
And
and we'll talk to you next. How's Ben doing? Is he good?
Ben's pretty good.
Ben's gone from being a cute little brother to the most powerful man in entertainment in Toronto.
Yeah, he's going to be programming at Sneaky D's.
Yeah.
He's performing all over the place and getting phone numbers from all kinds of ladies.
Yeah, from what I hear, the lady opportunities are lucrative in Ben's line of work.
It's true.
It's amazing. I'm getting old.
I'm getting unsuccessful.
Right. Well, we are Suck It signing off, Sucketeers. Have a good New Year's.
Yeah, maybe we'll see you before we break up.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, one last Suck It.
One last Suck It. All right, well, let's look forward to that.
All right.
Suck It.
Suck It.